Coffee with Cudmore.
Light 104.7 and 1570 AM. WVTL.
We're on the line with Carol Edmonston. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning.
Carol is an author and inspirational speaker. She's done a lot of work on a concept that she would advocate for you. Are there hidden treasures hiding in your family tree? What did you find hiding in your family tree?
Well, my uncle was Sid Hoff, who was regarded as one of the famed New Yorker cartoonists, and many people remember him as one of the prolific children's authors. His claim was Danny and the Dinosaur and Sammy the Seal. And so I knew a lot about that part of Sid, but when I went to create a website after he passed away in 2004, I stumbled into a world of Sid's early creative work I had no idea that he did.
Which was? What did he do?
Well, he contributed greatly to doing many, many advertising commissions for companies as iconic as Jell-O and Ralston Shredded Wheat and Ever Ready Batteries.
Right.
But one of the things that absolutely surprised me is that in the politically radical 1930s, he cartooned under an alias for left-wing publications. And I was so inspired to find out more about this and discovered that in the 1930s, many cartoonists did that during the Depression era and the rise of Hitler to power, that he had quite a following. And he even wrote a book. He was so concerned about the oppressions, the social injustices that were really at the forefront of his early work. And he wrote a book called The Ruling Clause, C-L-A-W-S-S, that was just filled with a lot of cartoons. And I kind of was really proud to discover this about Sid and really wish I had known this while he was alive so we could have shared in conversation about that part in his early cartooning years.
It's interesting. Why do you suppose he didn't tell you?
Well, I think at that time, you know, there was so much going on, and many of these cartoonists, you know, with the FBI and the McCarthy era. When he wrote Danny and the Dinosaur in 1958, it really launched a successful career as a children's author. And I'm sure, you know, they wanted to, he and his wife, you know, he had two young children, to put this part of his life behind him and move on and just celebrate his life as a children's author.
Hmm. Now, do you suppose he was ashamed in any way, or he was just afraid that he'd get into trouble or it would hurt his current career?
Oh, I don't think he was ashamed at all. He was a man that really stood for supporting the injustices, class discrimination that was going on at the time. I think it was the fear. So many people innocently had been persecuted by the FBI during that time, and he was so successful. I said, you know, Danny and the Dinosaur really launched a successful mm-hmm. career as a highly regarded children's author, that I'm sure he felt it was time to move on and just, you know, be there to support, you know, his wife and his children as well.
What was his alias as a kind of a left-wing writer?
Well, it was funny. His alias was the initial A and the last name Redfield. A. Redfield.
Ah.
So I've now have uploaded onto the website, sidhoff.org, you know, information and cartoons relevant to that time. And certainly it'll take me a while to get them all up there. But I'm going to reprint this old book that was done in 1935 because there's just very, very few editions. And they're actually, interestingly enough, are starting to resurface today. With all the Occupy movements going on, some of his early cartoons popped up in the Occupy DC movement in November.
Huh. So what you're doing is you're going to reprint a book that your uncle had done in the 30s. That's what you said?
Correct.
Huh.
Well, you know, the reason behind it is so many had regarded Sid as one of the great humorists of the 20th century, and what he was so successful about doing is be able to use his sense of humor to really make a statement in a cartoon. And I want to go back and, you know, take those cartoons that really speak to the times we live now and the struggles and the issues going on. So all the relevant cartoons that can show up in publications today, I want to bring back into print.
And, I mean, they say a picture's worth a thousand words, so maybe it'll take a while, but could you describe one of his political cartoons?
There was just yesterday when after the May Day celebrations and the protests that were going on across the country, I got an email from someone who has a more left-wing blog site that featured about six of Sid's earlier cartoons, and there was a picture of a little girl kneeling beside her bed at night saying her nighttime prayers, and her mom looking over her saying, you should ask, I can't remember the exact words, but it was, you should ask God for a snowstorm for tomorrow in light of the fact that it was May Day, the May Day celebrations coming up.
Hmm.
He was a man who never needed to do anything but pull up to the surface an issue using humor. So it really didn't anger people. You really needed to, you know, whatever side you were on, you could chuckle.
Could we try another cartoon? I don't get that one, to tell you the honest truth.
Or well, with all the protests
or can you I'm sorry. Or can you explain it more to me? I don't quite see what's the point of it.
Well, sometimes, you know, people, the assembly of thousands of people, hundreds of people that would be gathering for a protest march, and this mother is just asking the little girl to ask God to make a blizzard for May Day, so there's not a lot of protest people that are going to be gathering.
Okay. All right. And he was doing this work as Sid... as A. Redfield, but he was really Sid Hoff. Was he at the time doing other cartooning work? You said he did stuff for companies and whatnot.
At the time he was doing all of these Redfield cartoons throughout the 1930s, he was successfully cartooning for William Randolph Hearst in about 850 publications.
And that's why, I mean, I find that amusing myself. I imagine, I don't know if you do or not, I mean, because Hearst was quite a right-winger, right?
Absolutely. And they knew these cartoonists were doing that, but Sid had a very successful cartoon strip running for Hearst for 10 years during the 40s, so it was really funny to see, you know, the two sides. It was kind of laughable, for sure. The one cartoon, there's two women, heavy-set women, sitting on a, you could tell they're upper-crust women, sitting on a park bench with their dresses and their jewelry on and their hands behind their head, and one says to the other, I'm against unemployment insurance. It'll make people lazy.
Very good. That one I get. Now, where was Sid Hoff from? I mean, this is happening in New York City, I gather.
He is a born and raised Bronx boy. He grew up in the Bronx, right off of the Grand Concourse, and lived in Rockaway Beach. And he stayed in New York until roughly about the late 50s, pretty close in time to when Danny and the Dinosaur was published, and then fled down to the warmer country, down to Miami Beach.
Okay. A lot of folks from New York City do that, right?
Yes.
And you say he passed away a few years ago?
He passed away in 2004 at the age of 91. I tell you what really surprised me, Bob, was one day, I mean, I knew my uncle was a cartoonist for The New Yorker and prolific children's author, but when he died, he was banner news on CNN, and I had no idea that he had such an impact in the world creatively that he would be covered on CNN.
Yeah, that's quite an achievement. And again, back to the concept that you're advocating in addition to your own work, is that people can do this, find out about their own families.
Absolutely. You know, you don't need to have anyone famous in your family. I think so many of us now, you know, are wanting to connect ourselves to family members. And for me, you know, I think the greatest thing is that I really feel more connected to history because I had a relative who was part of it. In fact, after I interviewed Sid and put all this, put the website together, I went back and interviewed my father because I discovered things about my parents that I knew but never knew the stories behind. So it really made me feel closer to their struggles when they were growing up during the Depression. So everybody has, you know, I always say that Aunt Bee, we all have an Aunt Bee in our family, and she did more than bake apple pie.
Sure. And the website where you can find the information about Sid Hoff is sidhoff.org.
Correct.
And it's S-Y-D, H-O-F-F, sinhoff.org. And you've already got quite a bit of material up there, and you say you're putting more of his books from the 1930s on the site.
Well, what I'm putting is a lot of his cartoons. I just had met with the New Yorker magazine last week and want to upload cartoons, you know, Sid hit cartoons in every demographic, for parents, for relationships, for the auto mechanic, for the working business people, and any cartoon that could speak to the struggles we're having, you know, in this day and age, I want to upload to the website. I am so passionate about wanting to honor and preserve his legacy, because he's impacted, you know, you've got grandparents out there who bought his books for their children, and now their children are buying the same books for their own children. So Sid touched many over the years of his life.
In addition to, let's say, Danny and the Dinosaur, which is very popular, and maybe this was popular too, but you sent the cover shot of a book he did called The Young Cartoonist. So he was interested in getting young people to draw things. How did he get into it, do you know?
He started drawing on the sidewalks of New York in the Bronx at the age of 4. And actually, he wasn't much in the way of being a great academic student, but he had the talent for drawing at a young age. He actually won a little drawing contest, an inner-city drawing contest, you know, when he was in the fourth grade. When he was in high school, he was asked to be on stage drawing as a classmate was presenting a speech on a special assembly. And the guest that day was the famous cartoonist Milt Gross. Mm-hmm. And after Milt Gross saw Sid draw his cartoons, he came up to him and he said to him, "Kid, someday you're going to be a famous cartoonist." And, you know, Sid really took that to heart. And he actually, unfortunately, dropped out of high school. He didn't finish high school, but he ended up studying at the National Academy of Design in New York City. He thought he was going to be a famous painter and get into, you know, the serious side of art, but the cartooning part of him, you know, just kept coming up, and he actually sold his first drawing to the New Yorker at the age of 18.
Goodness. And I've heard the name Mort Gross, but what did he draw? I mean, he did the comic strips, didn't he?
Milt Gross, yeah, I can't exactly remember. Yeah, Milt Gross was a very, very famous cartoonist. It was Count Screwloose, I think, was one of them. He really was an inspiration for a lot of cartoonists, budding artists that came in after him.
In fact, I don't know, maybe it's the same today, but just in a different sort of format, but it seems to me that back then, with all the different newspapers and the different newspaper chains and all these, that there were quite a few, you know, a lot of different cartoon strips that people loved, or maybe more variety, perhaps, than we have today.
I know Sid felt strongly over the years that they were changing. They weren't quite the same as they were in those early days. He actually had his very, very first cartoon strip, which I would love to get to the Library of Congress to see a photo of it. It was called Toby the Ambitious, and it actually came, this was in the 30s, was under, in the publication, Silly Willy, which was Ludwig Bennelman's cartoon strip. I had met his grandson, and he told me, he said, "I saw a picture of it when I was at the Library of Congress." But his first well-known cartoon strip was called Tuffy. It was about a little girl who did funny things, and it appeared in about 850 publications owned by William Randolph Hearst throughout the 1940s.
Carol Edmondson, I thank you for joining us. The website about her uncle, Sid Hoff, is sydhoff.org. Thank you very much. You have a good day.